Fan God's Gift into Flame. Theological Rationale for Developing an Annual Spiritual and Professional Growth Plan. Thinking Theologically About the Blessings of Planning for Growth. Part 2. Pondering Some Blessings That Empower Faith-Filled Planning. Part 2. Pondering Some Blessings That Empower Faith-Filled Planning. With all there is to gain from growth in our unique God-given gifts when applied to our unique callings in life, what is it that often hinders us from regularly devoting more time and attention to planning for growth? I know the objections that come up in my own heart. I've also had the opportunity to listen to the concerns and questions of others in ministry during these last few years. This section of the essay seeks to answer those concerns by holding before us blessings from God that we can realize in the midst of careful planning for growth in concert with others. Remembering these gracious blessings of God can help us overcome specific barriers that may lead us to say pass when it comes to putting together a specific plan for growth. One by one, we will trace the blessings that God can give in the midst of such careful planning for growth without ignoring the challenges that may lurk in the process. Blessing number one. Planning for growth can be a concrete way to trust in God's good and gracious will for our lives and ministries. Since God's truth is a narrow beam with sinful distortions lurking on either side, we will approach each of these blessings by first acknowledging the related distortions lurking nearby. As we consider this first blessing, that planning is an expression of trust in God's good and gracious will for our lives, a question may spring to life. Couldn't such planning for growth be evidence of a refusal to trust in that will of God? The simple answer is yes. Ever since Satan convinced Adam and Eve that God could not be trusted in directing their lives, it is at the heart of our sinful nature to refuse to trust in God's will. Many passages warn us about this ever-present danger. Quote, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own," end quote. Matthew 6, verse 34. We can become so anxious about the challenges of the next day, next week, next month, or next year, that we indulge in faithless, frantic activity as if everything depends on us, or become paralyzed by the burden of it all. In the midst of planning, we can also fail to recognize that God has promised us only daily bread, strength and wisdom to face the evils and troubles of each day as those days arrive. We overlook the blessings of today because we have become preoccupied with worry about the strength and wisdom needed for tomorrow. What also complicates the issue is that our ability to forecast the future is much shakier than we may realize. Just watch the 7-day forecast on the evening news. We can look ahead and make our plans thoughtless for what may be God's will in all of this. We can plan without taking into account the sinfulness of how God can redirect our lives in an instant, always for the blessing of His children. Quote, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil." End quote. James 4, verses 13 through 16. If we forget that there is so much we do not know about tomorrow, if we fail to realize how little we can see with our eyes, the big picture of how God is blessing and preserving and growing us, then planning can become an exercise in what James calls evil boasting. Solomon's warning to the wise also still stands. Quote, "A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way?" End quote. Proverbs 20, verse 24. And there is even one more danger in planning that lurks here. We can fail to acknowledge humbly that it is a good thing that God has subjected this whole world to frustration. Romans 8, verse 20. That frustration to which God has subjected a fallen creation is God's loving testimony that life in this sinful world can never again be our ultimate hope. If by our planning we begin to think that we can almost erase the curse of troubles coming our way or entering the life of our congregations, a subtle or not-so-subtle theology of glory, then we need to take to heart another inspired word of Solomon. Quote, "What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted." End quote. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 15. It is critical that we heartily acknowledge that planning can become the opposite of trust. It can set us up in opposition to God's will if it is done apart from conscious trust in God. If it is done by a heart unwilling to bow in humility before the reality that God's plans, for His gracious purposes, as He reveals them day by day in our lives, may be different from ours, then planning becomes an exercise in doubt, not faith. To plan, essentially against the Lord, is arrogant foolishness. Quote, "There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord." End quote. Proverbs 21, verses 30 and 31. Are we ready to bow in humility to the trust that when some or many of our plans fail, that what happens against our plans may simply be God's good and gracious will moving forward for His purposes and our good? Quote, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." End quote. Proverbs 19, verse 21. How important to realize that Solomon is not suggesting that God's overruling of our plans is a problem for the believer. Since the plans of the God who has redeemed us in His eternal Son are always plans to prosper us and not to harm us, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, then God's overruling of our plans is another reason for thanksgiving. Yet none of these concerns changes the reality that planning can indeed be trust put into visible, concrete action. It can be the trust of faith that recognizes that God's usual path for accomplishing His will in and through our callings is by using as His agents those who believe in Him. It is the wonderful and awesome theological truth that systematic theologians have called the distinction between prima causa and seconda causa. God is always the first cause, prima causa, of everything. We cannot move a finger apart from the one in whom, quote, "we live and move and have our being," end quote, Acts 17, verse 28. Yet God has so ordered His world that He honors us to be His masks, seconda causa, as we use our, quote, "mind and all our abilities," end quote, as His earthly tools. That is how He typically works, whether it is for the purpose of putting bread on our family's table or the bread of life before our parishioners and prospects. This is the awesome truth at work behind the doctrine of vocation. God's basic modus operandi in His caring for His world is to work through us as we carry out in faith the vocations He has given us. Some in the psychological world speak of people remembering that they have agency. Under God, the plans and decisions we make in life do matter. God has so ordained it. If we neglect the truth of God as prima causa, working through us as seconda causa, we can quickly grow proud and arrogant with all we accomplish, or fearful and despairing about all we are not accomplishing. It's a roller coaster existence. But if we neglect the truth that we are God's masks, who are called to work as seconda causa in His grand created design, we easily grow careless and lazy and live almost as if we were fatalists. The dangers of planning lie in the former misunderstanding. The blessings of planning help us avoid the latter. As long as we remember in faith that there are no plans that succeed apart from God's will, and as long as we realize how thankful we can be that His good and gracious will is being done, even without our plans, then our planning can indeed be an exercise of faith. Footnote 4. Doubtless some of the greatest growth throughout our lives happens as God blesses the seemingly small events and activities of our lives that either wouldn't register in our planning or that we never could have foreseen. God wastes nothing in our lives. End footnote. We look at how God has fearfully and wonderfully made us. We look at how He even more graciously called us to work. We consider grace upon grace, that He has entrusted us with opportunities to serve as His masks, both in public ministry and royal priestly callings. Then, we dedicate ourselves to pondering prayerfully how we can, under His grace, be masks that more transparently reflect His goodness in how we carry out our God-given responsibilities. It is such a faith-filled foundation for planning that underlies the truth of Proverbs 21, verse 5. Quote, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." End quote. Such passages lead us back to James 4, to note carefully that James was not warning us away from any thought about planning. Rather, James is merely rejecting arrogant planning that failed to acknowledge that our plans are made not as masters of our existence, but as those who live as servants under a gracious God. He doesn't want our statement of God willing, Deo volente, to become little more than a pious slogan mouthed with little meaning as we set our minds to do our own thing. Rather, he is warning us that our God willing is the conviction of those who plan under the will of Him who has loved us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Here's the bottom line. God's promise to bless us according to His will doesn't rule out godly planning. Rather, it simply means we plan in faith, not fear. We don't plan in fear as if tomorrow, for us individually, or for us corporately as God's church, would be chaos if we didn't plan. Instead, we plan in faith, trusting that He who controls all things delights to bless the plans of His believing children. We plan even as we know He may modify those plans to bless us, even more than we could ever have imagined.